Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. We're thankful for your interest and your tuning in each day, day after day, as we face the issues. I pray it's a blessing to you. I pray that the broadcast each day is informative and inspirational and challenging for we as conservatives and as believers to be involved in the process in our nation today. I believe God would have us to be salt and light. That's what the scripture says we're to be. And as such, we're to be in the world as a preservative and in the world as a luminary factor in a dark and decaying society in which we're living in. As we face the issues, let me remind us that we do so not based on ideological bent and not based on denominational dogma with the rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, but based on the authority of scripture. What does the Word of God say? That's the first, foremost, and final authority, I believe, that we as Christians ought to see, and as those that are trying to determine what needs to be done as we face the issues, we need to turn to the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." He said that to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then Jesus made a very dogmatic, informative statement that I believe we all should sit up, listen to, and take notice. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So the Word of God is truth. It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the Word of God, we understand that God created the home. He created the government, and he created church, and he did so in that order. So anything that we're faced with is any issue in any of those three areas of societal life and living is found in the Word of God, and we need to go there for our source book on how we should handle the difficulties or problems or issues that we're faced with. Ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you today that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment company, dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment and the hurricane cleanup equipment, including a whole line of chainsaws. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic 165-foot flagpole stands with Old Glory flowing in the wind. You can look them up also at toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for this privilege of coming to you today by way of this broadcast. Let me remind you, as we do so, you can join in the dialogue and the discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone calls directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the discussion together today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today God's solution for man's problems, God's solutions for man's problem. In particular, we're talking about God's solutions for what we would call gun control. And I believe there are a number of issues that most folks are not familiar with that we need to be aware of and take a stand on them. Before we get into the monologue and then the dialogue and the discussion today, let me remind us to pray for those in Bahamas. Pray for those in the Bahamas. If you look at that from the aerial view that they're showing on television and the news, it is heartbreaking to see the absolute massive catastrophic destruction on the islands. It is amazing to me that anyone survived, but I am thankful for those that did. But pray for those families that have been so catastrophically disproportionately, absolutely displaced in their homes and their families, and basically everything gone. So pray that God will give them wisdom and strength, and most of all, faith and hope and trust in Him. Maybe this will be an opportunity for multitudes to turn to Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're also thankful of God's safety and protection for us in the storm. Remember, it's not Mother Nature, it's Father God that protects us. We have all watched in shock and concern, ladies and gentlemen, also in the last several days with another mass murder that took place in Odessa, Texas. 36-year-old shooter killed 7 and injured 22 others in the shooting. In that shooting spree that began with a routine traffic stop, according to the authorities. Ladies and gentlemen, we now hear the screams and the cries more so and more intently from the gun control advocates in America, the socialist Democrats and those that would have our gun rights absolutely obliterated, foreclosed, and taken away from us. Ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about gun confiscation. In fact, one of the socialist Democrat candidates for president just openly says he'll just confiscate all the guns. And on one of the occasions, one of the previous candidates for president said that if the people didn't surrender the guns, he said, you know, the military, American military has nukes, we'll just take them. And that was a blazing statement that he had made. Fortunately, he's out of the race and he dropped, realizing that he had 0.0% interest in his leadership role in that capacity. Then there are those who say, we're going to do a gun buyback. Well, ladies and gentlemen, how does the government buy your gun back when the government didn't sell you the gun? Gun buyback is just another term for gun confiscation. Then we have the red flag laws. It's in, I believe, something like 17 of our states. I like the sign that was on a church. I have a note from that sign. I've forgotten where the sign was located. It was a church sign. It says, if you want God to bless America, stop legalizing sin. I think that's a pretty good slogan. Then you find those ladies and gentlemen that want to expand the background checks. If I were to let my wife use my gun, or if I were to give one of my weapons to one of my sons and something were to happen catastrophic, then all of a sudden I would be a felon. We need to talk about that and determine what it really means. California now placing higher tax on ammo to try to prevent anyone from having a weapon. We find the Democrats that are in control citing the restrictions on applications for carry permits. They're simply trying to prevent the Second Amendment from being utilized by we, the citizens, the United States of America. Walmart just said they're going to, Walmart and Sam's Club, they're going to discontinue selling guns and ammo. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. 10,874 people killed by drunk drivers in 2017. 403 of those, 403 deaths by rifles, and yet Walmart's going to stop selling rifles and still selling alcoholic beverages. Do you understand that? Let me just pause and read that again. 10,874 people killed by drunk drivers in 2017, and only 403 by rifles, and yet Walmart's going to stop selling rifles and continue to sell alcoholic beverages. That's a little antithetical to anything that would be called sanity or truth. Ladies and gentlemen, now, there's calls for expanding the mental health issues, the mental health scenario, and expanding that to say that somehow, some way, those that may look crazy, talk crazy, act crazy. I said several times, who's going to call who crazy in society today? You realize that many Christians today are viewed as crazies, nut jobs, fruitcakes, et cetera, because of our stand on moral, ethical issues that's antithetical to where we stand as a governmental agency and bodies. Some Democratic Socialist candidates for president even advocate canceling. You hear me right, canceling our Second Amendment right. We now have some 20,000 gun control laws, ladies and gentlemen, federal, state, and national gun control laws. And I want to ask you a question. Just how many more laws will it take to stop the mass murders? In fact, what the socialist Democrats are not saying when they talk about the mass murders and the mass shootings is that we have more murders by way of weapons in Chicago, Baltimore, L.A., and D.C. any weekend than we have in any of the gun sprees that we have on what's called mass murders. I have, ladies and gentlemen, researched extensively the last 40 mass shootings and find the following common thread in them. And this is going to lead up to our introduction of our guest today. As I talk about this, I have reviewed, I've studied, I've analyzed the last 40 so-called mass shootings. Ladies and gentlemen, all were on some kind of drugs. Every one of them on some kind of drugs, either prescribed drugs or marijuana or other hard drugs. I find it a little bit insane to say that we're going to continue to expand the legalization of marijuana, which is the gateway to all other drugs, and yet we're trying to somehow, some way stop the mass shootings. It just doesn't make sense. Number two, all were from broken or fatherless homes. We're talking about the last 40 mass shootings. All were from broken homes or fatherless homes. All had legally obtained weapons, except for the last shooter at Odessa, Texas. None of the shooters were in church. None were in homes where God's word was taken seriously. The Bible was an important factor or being taught in the homes. All were from the school system where the Bible is banned and prayer is not allowed and the Ten Commandments are prohibited. All were involved in some of the horrific videos and video games that destroy the value of life, where their life is not valued, life is not viewed as being a gift from God. So, ladies and gentlemen, what's the answer? What is the greatest need that could help stem this further erosion and lack of morals and values and disrespect for human life? I believe it's the lack of the Bible being taught in the homes and our schools and appropriately presented from the pulpits in America today. I believe there is a need to put God back in prominent positions in society in which we're living in. I believe it's time we put God back in the classroom. And ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I am delighted, I'm thankful to have as our very special guest today on Let's Face the Issues, Florida State Representative Mike Hill from District 1. Congressman, delighted to have you with us today on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
I'm always delighted, brother. And for the listeners that's not aware, ladies and gentlemen, Representative Hill loves the Lord. He's a Christian first, a representative for the state. Secondly, he's a Republican. He's a conservative. And ladies and gentlemen, he has a wonderful wife, three children. I like the names, Congressman Joshua, Jessica, and Jonathan. I'm thankful for you indicating, and I can see that in the names, a recognition of God in the family. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is Representative Mike Hill, District 1, Florida District 1. And he is a graduate from the U.S. Academy, U.S. Air Force Academy, a graduate, MBA from Pensacola Christian College, honorary doctorate degree, served 10 years in the Air Force, now serving we the people, the state of Florida, in the position of district representative for District 1. Congressman, you've heard the monologue. Tell me what your thoughts are in general about what I said. Anything that I stated in that's incorrect, wrong, or that we need to modify in any fashion?
I believe you were right on target, Dr. Youngblood, in everything that you said. Like you, I've studied these issues with gun control, and as you said, the common denominator of all these mass shootings, and by the way, what they consider a mass shooting is whenever three or more people have been killed or injured. So that's what they consider a mass shooting. And as you say, each one of those young men who committed those horrific crimes had some common denominators, all that you mentioned, and the first one being that they were either on or had just finished taking psychotropic drugs. Now, psychotropic simply means mind-altering. Marijuana, as you said, is a gateway drug to that. Marijuana affects your brain on how you think and what your perceptions are. But it gets to something even more benign than that. Actually, it's not benign. I think it's a terrible tragedy that we're having in our schools, Dr. Youngblood, and that is where they place these usually young boys on Ritalin to control their activity, to control their behavior. They diagnose them with ADHD or attention deficit disorder and will put them on this Ritalin, which affects their mind. It affects how they perceive, how they think, and it starts at a young age, some as early as second and third grade, and it continues through into middle school and high school, and they become accustomed to having their state of mind altered. And so they go on to other drugs, either prescribed or illicit drugs. When you get into high school, they start prescribing them with antidepressants, such as Prozac and others. And that is what we find is a common denominator of all these disturbed young people who are committing these mass shootings. That, and as you said, there is no presence of God, it appears, in their life or in their home. And that is what we have to change as a society by, I believe, bringing the Bible back into our public schools.
Absolutely. Congressman, let's drill a little deeper in just a moment. Then I want to get into the curative factors, as I believe that you and I both are in agreement on. And when we talk about these drugs that the kids are on in the school, perhaps you're aware of it. I am. And I think there is a deeper scenario that we need to attack, if I could use that word correctly. Many of our schools, public school systems, state of Florida is no different. If a school nurse or those in charge in the school can have that child determined to need Ritalin or some psychotropic drug to control their actions and activities in school, the larger number of students put on that, then in a school district, that school district receives more from state and federal funding for education as a result of having a higher and higher number that's determined to have some need for a drug control. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, absolutely. And you're correct. Each child who is diagnosed with some sort of, they call it a disorder, ADD or ADHD, when they are diagnosed with that at that school does receive increased funding. And so it's like the school has an incentive to get as many children as they can on these drugs. The sad part about all that is I was reading an article, and I can't recall the country. It was over in Europe. I believe it was either France or it may have been Holland. Said that they found the cure for ADHD. And he said it's recess, that when they give those kids more time outside of the classroom playing, that that attention deficit disorder goes away. Amazing.
I agree with that.
Dr. Youngblood, I was in the elementary schools in the 60s, and I didn't know anybody who had ADHD anywhere. It was unheard of. But back then, we also had recess in the morning, we had lunchtime, and we had recess in the afternoon. But there was no such thing.
And back at that time, we did not have the incentive for increased funding for the school districts that provided more and more of those diagnoses.
That's correct. Yes, sir. But we all, as we were growing up in school, there was always an occasion where some boy wasn't paying attention. Oftentimes, that was me. Wasn't paying attention.
I thought I was the only one.
No, or couldn't sit still. And the teacher would say, you know, Mike, hold still. Mike, are you paying attention? Or whatever. That was always there. But no one said, you know, he has this disorder, and now we need to give him some drugs to calm him down. No, if the child got too far out of line, you know, they would be sent to the principal's office, or they might get a few whacks on their behind with a ruler, and that seemed to fix everything. But we didn't need to give our children drugs, and we see the catastrophic effect of it now with these mass shootings that are going on throughout our nation, which, again, it was unheard of back in the 60s, back in the 50s and 60s. It was very rare indeed if there were what are these so-called mass shootings.
In fact, we had per capita back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we had just as many guns in American hands as we do now. That is per capita, the number of people proportionally. And yet we never heard of, quote, mass shootings. And yet we're finding today, I believe there's some 30 or 33 states that's already gotten legalized marijuana. and state after state after state, and you're perhaps, I'm sure, familiar with the fact that there's an amendment that's being planned for November 2020 to legalize marijuana for the state of Florida on a recreational basis. They already have some 77,000 signatures on that, and I'm fearful that that will pass based on the past actions of citizens in the state of Florida voting, and that will simply increase exponentially, I believe, what we find today with the catastrophic situations in the classroom and outside the classrooms, as well as on the streets of our cities where shootings are taking place. So, Congressman, talk to us about what you and I have talked about several times, is what is the curative? It won't cure it completely, but what is the, if you please, the ingredient that will help deflect or resolve much of these issues? What is needed in our society today?
I think what is needed is that we need to bring Christianity back into the public decorum, back into the public discussion. Starting in the 60s and perhaps a little earlier than that, we started removing God from our schools, from the public discourse, that there is this incorrect notion that there's to be a separation of the church and state. Mm-hmm. In other words, me as an elected official, I'm not even supposed to talk about my Christian faith. And that is completely wrong. It's impossible, first of all, if you are a true Bible-believing Christian, to separate your faith from your actions that you do on a daily basis.
That's right.
And so for them to say, once I walk into those doors of the chamber, that I'm to no longer think of myself as a Christian or behave as one, but only politically, it's impossible. It doesn't make sense. So last legislative session, I co-sponsored legislation to bring the Bible back into our public education system here in Florida, that it would be an elective course starting in middle and high school, and that a child could decide that they want to take the course, but it wouldn't be mandatory. But what it does is it brings back to our school system and into our school classrooms what is so desperately needed. And that is wisdom. Wisdom is found in our Bible. Wisdom, truth, life, it is all there in the Bible. And once we recognize the historical significance that the Bible had on the founding of this nation, on its Declaration of Independence, on our Constitution, and the importance it was in establishing this nation, then we can begin going forward in the future in a more positive way. Right now, they have no answers for what is going on. They have no answers except to take more of our freedom, more of our liberty away from law-abiding citizens, and that is not the answer.
That is not the answer at all. In fact, I can recall in my days, and some people say that's back in olden times, as some like to call it. But when I was in school, the teacher would lead in Bible reading each morning, the public school teacher. We would memorize scripture verses, stand and quote them each day. We would have prayer time. We would have the pledge to the flag before we ever started any academic work. And in those days, you did not hear of anything that would be called mass shootings. And yet that's taking place today. And as you've said, I believe it's because we have divested ourselves, divorced ourselves as a people from anything that's moral, ethical, and spiritual, i.e. the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And as we think on the subject of what is happening with our mass murders and the mass shootings and the left wanting to take away the constitutional liberties that we have, especially the Second Amendment, I am appalled by that. In fact, you perhaps are familiar with these statistics, and I have gathered them and have been very, very, very astounded by them. Some 40,000 die each year by guns, 29,250 by suicide with guns, 1,612 legal law enforcement shootings where cops are killing the criminals, 274 negligence discharge of firearms with people that don't know how to handle a weapon, and only 8,863 actual murders out of 327 million people in America. And yet we have 20,000 gun laws in federal, state, local, municipal ordinances, 20,000. So my question has always been, how many more gun laws do we need to stop it? And I think you and I both understand, and I think our listeners will agree, that we could put another 100, another 1,000, another 2,000, and that's not going to stop the mind and the heart of those that are devoid of any thinking about the value of human life, that we're created by God, and therefore we're valuable, every human being, even in the womb. That brings me to the point, Congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill. Mike is Florida District 1, House of Representatives, representing us in Tallahassee. We're talking with him today about a variety of issues, in particular about the gun issue and the mass murders and what is the focus on how this should be viewed rather than taking away our liberties and our constitutional rights. Mike, I believe you had also introduced the heartbeat bill in last legislative session, and that did not get out of committee. Speak to that issue, and then we want to talk about those, the heartbeat bill and the Bible bill, and what needs to be done in the future.
Absolutely. Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I submitted legislation last year that said once a heartbeat is detected in the womb, then that baby cannot be aborted. Let's use another word for what it actually is. I said aborted. It's murder.
Yes.
That baby cannot be murdered once a heartbeat is detected. Now, last year when I submitted that bill, it had exceptions in it. My bill was based on what passed in Ohio. And Ohio's bill had exceptions for that murder in the womb could be committed if it was the pregnancy was due to rape, incest, human sex trafficking, or if the mother's vital organ or life was in danger. All of those were exceptions in the bill last year, which, by the way, I didn't like having those exceptions in the bill. But I did it because I knew when it passed in Ohio that perhaps that would make it easier to pass in Florida also with those exceptions. Well, as you stated, it didn't get out of committee. It actually didn't even get a committee hearing. It wasn't even placed on an agenda to have a committee hearing, either in the House or on the Senate in Florida last year. So I decided to, and oftentimes, Dr. Youngblood, very important legislation like that, which affects everyone in Florida, it will take more than one session to get it passed. And I will admit right now that I am committed to reintroducing this legislation as long as I am an elected official in the Florida
Amen.
House. I won't stop. It is an assignment that has been placed before me that I am going to carry through until we have victory on it. So what I did for this legislative session is I submitted the bill again, but without any exceptions at all. Rape, incest, human sex trafficking. I've learned from many different doctors that there is never justification for murdering a baby in the womb to try and protect the mother's life. They said it doesn't happen. What the doctor is to do is to try his best to save both the mother and the child. And if for some reason the child cannot be saved, then that's a miscarriage. It's not intentionally murdering that baby in the womb. But there is no medical justification at all to commit an abortion to try and save the mother's life. So I remove
Absolutely.
That exception.
Absolutely. Congressman, if you would, we're going to have a station identification and news break for about 1 minute. If you would, hang on the line and come back with us. Let's finish this discussion. I believe there's some vital things that we need to talk about that our listeners need to hear and need to pray for what God has you doing in Tallahassee. Thanks so much. And hang on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in about 1 minute.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.